time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, what a wonderful weekend. What a wonderful, wonderful weekend. This sounds kind of corny. My heart's full today. We had a wonderful, wonderful weekend here in Buckeye Lake, Ohio. They always used to say at Ohio State football games, Keith Jackson was one of my favorite announcers. And every year when he did the Ohio State Michigan game, he always said, he would come on and he would say, live from the banks of the Olentangy. The Olentangy River runs right beside Ohio, a football stadium where Ohio State plays their football games. Live from the banks of the Olentangy. And live from the banks of Buckeye Lake was a wonderful, wonderful weekend. If you give me just a few minutes to throw out some kudos there, and then we'll dumpster dive into it. And a lot of stuff. You know, weekend goes by, Saturday, Sunday. The number of stuff on the plate on Monday morning is pretty significant. A lot of stuff going on. I don't know. You ever hear that saying, Lord, stop the world, I want to get off? Golly, if we were ever to be able to open our eyes and look around and see and understand, and I continually refer back to the fact that how can the church world be so blind to everything that's going on around us? I just, for the life of me, don't understand.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Vic.
Before you gain a lot of steam, one question. I was talking to Albert, and Albert was wondering if you're going to go to Chad's Mighty September gathering.
That'd be this.
No, it's September. September, like, I don't know if it's the third or fourth weekend there.
And I will make every attempt to be there. That's all I can say.
Because you got that one on the 28th, I think, in Pennsylvania. So it's a one-day deal in Pennsylvania. So we were talking about going down there this in September. And right. Then the second one is a little alert. Gunny Hole, he got arrested. Larry was saying in Lincolnton, North Carolina.
Do you want to do the show or you want me to?
No, I was just going to drop that in there.
Okay. Because, well, I'm going to drop it in there too. And then okay. The discussion about whether I'm going to go to Chad's, you and I can have that discussion offline.
All right.
We'll figure it out. Thanks for keeping me going here. We are truly, and I hope you take this in the right vein. I know that you will. If you don't, I don't even know what to tell you. I see it more and more and more, and it was a phrase that was coined by our good friend Chad. We are we're a Lonely Hearts Club band. We're a Lonely Hearts Club band of, how do I say this? Broken believers. Broken believers. I wrote a commentary years ago called Bedridden Believers. We have broken believers. We have disjointed members of the body that have been amputated. Some have done self-amputation. Some have been amputated by the church itself. But we have got such an unbelievable group of people that I just can't. I'm just overwhelmed. That our little Central Ohio rally here in Buckeye Lake was such a marvelous event. And Lord, help me here to say things correctly this morning. Let me pause there a second. Why is it that when I start a show and I think about what I'm going to talk about, can somebody explain to me that one of the first things that comes into my mind is who's going to be offended? Why do I even think that way? And why is it if I say something that's true from my perspective, someone else gets butthurt? And why is it that amongst a band of brothers, a family, it's really what it's become in a family atmosphere, was this weekend? Why do I have to worry about offending somebody? It would never be my intention. If I try to operate this way, if I have an offense with you, I try to deal with it one-on-one. It's what I try to do. And sometimes to come on the show and have to see, I'm thinking this morning, if somebody go be offended because I call them a Lonely Hearts Club band, is that going to hurt somebody's feelings? We have to stop personalizing everything that I say. Quit taking it personally. Okay? Stop doing that. Not talking about you. Talking in general. So we had this wonderful event at Buckeye Lake. One of the things that was really, really the highlight of it for me, there were a lot of highlights. But we sat around, I think it was Saturday morning. And we sat around the campfire, even though it was morning. And everybody got to introduce themselves and say their piece. And I should have filmed it. Should have taped it. Hey, Vic. Here we go. My Vic pill. I should have filmed it. I should have taped it. As you heard, the hearts of men, the lonely hearts of men and women, why they were there, what it mattered to them, and what they were about, and the gifts in that circle was fabulous. So I've got to stop just a minute and thank Mike and Bonnie Blake for putting the place on at that wonderful property that they had there. And donuts and hamburgers, and John Hartzler comes down. He brings Hartzler milk. Now in these little bottles, we got to drink Hartzler's milk. And it was just a one. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as the day approaches. Serge drives all the way from Buffalo. Drive all the New Jersey, Don and Cheryl Marshall. Now, they were going to another event, but they stopped by and they spent a day and a half with us. I got my list here. Let me look at my list. Sue Knapp. God bless Sue Knapp. Talk about a Lonely Hearts Club band member. Roger in there. Roger, you and I got to remind me, Roger, I want to talk to you about an issue there with Sue. Judd and Betsy. My goodness, Judd and Betsy. What a wonderful couple they were to come and spend their time with us from Lisbon, Ohio. I'm going to forget somebody. Mel came twice. My friend Richard Rapp came twice, drove an hour here and an hour home, and then an hour back the next day and an hour back the next day. He came, and he brought Rich Johns with him one night. Mel came, and Robert Klaus, another diamond in the rough that drops right down into our heart, member of the Lonely Hearts Club band. Robert shows up with his book. He just found us. He just found us. Pastor Mike Spaulding, he went to your conference and he found us. And he's full of finders, keepers, finders of truth and keepers of the faith. A little daily devotional, a manly, edgy daily devotional. He comes. He's got his other book. I didn't bring it down with me. Another gem falls out. He lives now in, you don't have to tell me. I'll get it. Over by Sydney. Is that right? Ohio. He's over in that area. John Barnett shows up, and Polly and Mike Heath come all the way from Andy Taylorville. And they spend the weekend. And Serge from Buffalo, and John Hartzler, and Gary. Roger Weaver shows up and brings cigars. Don and Cheryl, Mark Tron, I could go on. I'm going to forget the the bond that is being formed here is pretty amazing. Lowell shows up. Lowell brings his buddy. Whom I forget. I don't have to run down through everybody. There were about 30, 35 or 36 of us. But I have to tell you, just because I'm going to try to tell you the truth, and if you get mad, you get mad. We're kind of light on the local flavor, some of the Salt and Light Brigade. Local guys who didn't come. And these are Greg Jebnikar from Mansfield. Thank you, Michelle. Greg shows up. And some of the, doesn't matter. Anyway, what a wonderful time. We went and we did a honking wave. We went out and stood out 70-37. We held Hillary. We got our new shirts. Crooked Hillary for prison. On the back of it, you know, that's the Equal Justice Tour. We're out there wearing our shirts and our hats and holding up signs, indict Hillary. And Michelle's laying on me. Lowell came. I already said Lowell. I'm sorry. Say, Coach, I got mad at me because I didn't remember him one time. And everybody's so important. Gary Pierce, I said, Gary. Anyway, we did a honking wave. We went out and we stood out there and we held signs and died Hillary and took the big banner. Johnny, our old buddy Johnny from Columbus, he came. He was part of it he says he's just loved it. He says, Coach, I'll be back. If we could ever all get on the same page, man, and this is your family. And I'm going to get into some stuff later on here, I think. We're going to see and you're going to understand. The enemy is, as Mike Heath said on his show today, the enemy is roaring about like a roaring lion. By the way, like and as are not the same. The word like and as. The Satan, like a roaring lion, it's a comparison, not as a roaring lion. Seeks, roams about seeking whom he may devour. And I'm telling you, he is devouring Lonely Hearts Club Christians, devouring us. And there are some of you who have still, up to this point, not connected with the local group. And I cannot emphasize enough your need to do so. You got to get connected. You got to come and feel what's going on at these meetings. You got to do it. Jared, that's a segue. Didn't mean to do it, but it's a segue to the calendar schedule. Pull the schedule up, if you would. You need to get connected. And if there isn't anybody in your area, then you need to get one going in your area, and we will help you. We will financially help you. Listen, man, I'm telling you. You will be shocked. If you organize a huddle, you'll be shocked. The people who will come long distances to be part of it. People are hungry to gather together. Chad's events next week. I don't know if Chad wants to say anything about it. We know what goes on at Chad's Texas Salt and Light Brigade huddles. There's one next weekend. Get there. It matters. It matters to Chad. You are part of the body. Make it a priority and get there. Say, well, Coach, I would, but I can't afford it. Well, let us know that you can't afford it. And we have people who will help you be there. This is next weekend, a chance for you to experience what we just experienced. Okay? Scroll on down then, Jared. Is it Jared or Connor here this morning? Equal Justice Patriot Outreach in Missouri in 2 weeks. Come and fellowship. Get in your car and drive from Oklahoma or drive from, I don't even know what states are around there. Come and be part of it. Say, Coach, I've never done it before. I know. Come on, man. Come and be part of it. That's August 31st, 1st and 2nd. That's Memorial Day week. Or is that Memorial Labor Day weekend? Next one, Jared. Next schedule. Faith and Freedom Council. John Diamond's having a conference in Pennsylvania in September. No, this is not a huddle, but come. These are your people. You're saying, I'm trying to build my ministry. These are your people. These are the ones that you want to build it with. And some guy pulled over his car, parked it on the wrong side of the road, on the berm on the wrong side of the road, and got out of his car with his dog and said, I want to be part of this. October 10th, the scrimmage in the huddle in North Carolina down to Andy Griffithville. Put it on your schedule now. You say, Coach, I don't live there. I live in Florida. Okay, we'll drive up there. Coach, I don't be there. I live up in Northern Virginia. Okay, we'll drive there. Drive there. It matters that much. Look, I'm not trying to take anything from you. I don't want you to come there because we're going to sign you up and make you start tithing. No! Come and be part of this. These are your people. And I'm going to tell you, we are being successful. We, because we build relationships. People follow relationships, not leaders. You better understand that. You can stick a title on you and call yourself reverend or bishop or prophet or whatever you want to, president. You can stick whatever you want to on there. People are drawn to relationships. They're not drawn to titles, and they're not drawn to people. Now, they come to our events. Yes, I'm the face of it. Yes, they don't come for me. They come for each other. Surge came for Mike Blake. Mike and Polly, who are doing all they can to re-engage, came for the relationships. We found out today, Mark Trump heard from, hey, Mark, maybe you can open your microphone. Just today, or in the last 24 hours, Mark heard from some people who want to come and volunteer at Sky High today and tomorrow. Just out of the blue, they called and said, I'm coming. Right, Mark?
Amen. Amen. We got a couple people coming. One of them joined us up in Chappaqua, New York. Bob's coming, and he asked, what tools can I bring? And then Richard Rapp, he spoke to me at the event, and he's excited about coming back. A lot of people are asking me to help them find their gift. So people are desiring to contribute their time, treasures, and talents and be a part of these things. And it's just a blessing, Coach. Just a blessing.
Relationship, right, Mark? We're building relationship.
And I think it's strong, Coach. And I asked you this morning, how many of us are there going to be? What is our number? Is it mass? Is it thousands? Is it hundreds? Is it tens? What did Jesus do? So really, it's a close, dedicated, Jesus-loving group who are going to show up, Coach, and who are going to do, who are going to be a part of this family. But that's preordained. I mean, that's in the Bible. We got to keep trying for all because God wants everyone to know him. But mm-hmm. Our expectation is much higher than I think reality is going to be.
Amen. Hey, Mel, I don't know if you can open your phone, Mel, but if you can, Mel came down. He came twice. He drove an hour twice. He went home on Friday night, I believe, and came back. Like, I know this, but Mel was a reluctant. He came to be part of this group. When I first met Mel about 6 months ago, he was very, very reluctant. Why? Because people have been damaged by churches and they've been damaged by relationships, right? So, Mel, just take a couple minutes. Yeah, I see your microphone is on there. Go ahead and turn your mic back on, Mel. And just amen or oh my, what you're seeing going on there. Can you do that, Mel? You just have to hit your phone and the microphone will come up and then you tap on the microphone and that'll unmute you. There you go.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Mel, you told me you were an analyst, right, Mel? You analyze everything, right?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You have to forgive me because my computer here is kind of a cobbled up mess. But you kind of caught me off guard here. Yeah, I analyze everything. And it's because I'm a I've been a problem solver my entire life, and that's how I made my living as an engineer. But I guess I'm afraid. What is it that you want me to say, Coach?
I'm just saying, Mel. What is, because you're drawing closer and closer. What is it, Mel? What's going on that you're going from a casual guy to, God, you came close to something? What is it, Mel?
I desire to be part of a body, and I haven't been able to find a church or anything that even comes close. I'm in a time in my life when I'm in a situation I've never been in before. I mean, age is one thing, but relationships and so forth. I'm retired. I don't, where I live, I don't really have any friends to hang out with. And I have frittered away my spiritual life. I want to make up for that. I see the hearts of the people in this group. And, you know, it's amazing how much you can mature just by taking a couple of steps back. I've been in, you know, positions of authority in my life. You know, I had over 60 people in my department at one time, and I wielded a lot of power, and you sort of develop an attitude. That's why I was talking in our circle with Dick Dimension before about humility. I'm trying to learn humility now, and I'm also trying not to be judgmental of other people's station in life. You know, we're all different. I mean, even scripture talks about how we're all different parts of the body. Just because you're different doesn't mean you're not important. Amen. So we all have to find our place. I'm looking for my place, Coach. I want to be a contributor. And at the same time, I don't want to let people down. But I'm letting my own physical limitations at this point get in the way. And I have to learn to shove that aside, turn it over to the Holy Spirit, and if the Lord decides that He's going to remedy the situation for me, then let it be. Otherwise, it's His will. It's not mine.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Mel. Let me tell you something, friends. There are thousands of Mels out there. Thousands. Church orphans, Lonely Heart Club band. And he reluctantly became part of this again, not trusting. You know, everybody's been through this. I don't know why I'm spending so much time on it, other than that, to me, this is just critical. If you're not locking in with other people, thank God we can come here in the huddle and do this. But if you don't have the opportunity to walk up eyeball to eyeball and look Serge in the eye and say, man, Serge, wow, good to meet you. Go up and look Roger Weaver with his cigars in the eye and say, boy, I see you on the show. It's good to see. This is about relationships. And it's difficult to do it through media. But we're serving a really, really important need. Anybody want to? I didn't mean to embarrass you, Mel. You did great. Anybody else that want to comment in regards to any of that?
Dave, there's not an event that I don't go to that I don't look forward to it, enjoy it, and sad when it's over. I just enjoy being around the people.
Amen. It's relationships. It's what we're doing here. I'm not going to belabor it, okay? There's more opportunities coming for you to be part. Say, part of what? Well, let me ask you. Let's see. Who can I call in here that was at the event? And we'll make somebody nervous here a minute. Nobody. No, I can't get him. I don't see anybody. I'm going to. I'm going to call Bobby Lee in there real quick. Bobby, I don't know if you can talk. Hey, Bobby, you've held several of these events. You held it down in Louisville. You held them up in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Bobby, how many times, Bobby, have we asked for money to take them off from one of these people?
You're muffled. How many times what?
Have we asked for money or taken an offering from people?
Absolutely zero. If you want to give, you can donate. I mean, there's been a couple of times that I've given and I've kind of pushed it forward just to make it happen. But there's no money asked for. We show up, we engage. And I was just telling, I met with somebody, an older woman that is all in with what we're doing just a handful of nights ago. And she wants to be a part of the huddle that we need to get on the calendar for October 18th out here. She wants to be engaged. She's older. She's has a past history, and she spent decades being an outcast, being able to communicate with nobody. Her family looks at her crazy, and she's just blown away. She's been listening to your show every morning, and now she's blown away that there are people like us all across the nation that she can talk about these things with and engage. And she wants boots back on the ground, so she's all in. But yeah, and the worst part of leaving these things is going back to your world, to where you're around people that know absolutely nothing and care about nothing. That's the worst part.
well said. They're not even curious, are they, Bobby? They're not even curious.
Yeah.
They're not even curious. Okay, I'm gonna quit beating on this. It's just
amen, Bobby. Let me say one more thing, Coach.
Yep.
Another thing is, as we get more in tune with Christ, we realize what's going on and we move forward. So the people, when we go back home each time, as Bobby said, are getting further behind, and that we become more frustrated because it's difficult. It's more and more difficult to spread the message. The division is getting greater as time goes on.
It is, man.
So we need to improve and sharpen our techniques, because we're becoming more and more heavy with this knowledge, but we're getting further away from the people we need to go back and talk to. So I absolutely agree with Bobby. It's rough leaving, knowing what we're headed back to.
Amen. So we're here. We're here at the show every 5 days a week. Thank God for that. But it won't take more than that.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, I just wanna add something that. You know, I hooked up, been able or blessed enough to be able to hook up with you guys up in New York in Chappaqua when we went to go do the Equal Justice Tour. And I got to tell you, I want to tell everybody that going and doing that, no, it doesn't matter what the event is, the fellowship and the connection that the Holy Spirit brings and gifts to everybody that's even at the Equal Justice Tour, okay? I can't even imagine what it's like to go to a huddle weekend at Mike Blake's house. I need to do that. I need to start something in New England where this can happen. And the blessings that come from it are absolutely incredible. And it is, you know, going home and not being able to go connect or, you know, get in the car and drive 13 hours to get to Ohio, you know, it is dark. It is lonely. However, being a part of the body and knowing that the ability to be able to get back together again will present itself. And it also has, you know, I have no idea what God's got in store, but the blessings that come from it are absolutely incredible. And I just want to encourage anybody, if it's in North Carolina and like Coach said, you're in Mississippi, go. Wherever it is, find a way to get there so you can experience fellowship and unity with your brothers and sisters through the Holy Spirit.
You know, Matt, there was a time on Friday night, I think it was. It could have been Saturday night. It kind of all goes together after a while. Where I was over sitting in a chair, swatting the sweat bees. Man, there were a lot of sweat bees out there. Swatting the sweat bees. And I just sat back and I just took a panoramic view. For those of you who are, as Russ would say, Rio Lindo, panoramic, the whole view. And I saw about five different clusters of five. People just standing and talking. People who before the event didn't even know each other. And the relationships that were being formed out of those was, man, it's heartwarming, right? It's like, remember when you go to church, they say, okay, after they say the prayer and after they take the offering, let's say, well, let's greet one another. And you go around, shake hands to people you don't even know. God bless you this morning. God bless you this morning. It's so shallow. Everything is so shallow. And this isn't. It's not shallow. Bob and Tammy Evans, they wanted to come from Lisbon, Ohio. It's about 2 hours. Their buddy Judd and Betsy, they came, and Bob and Tammy couldn't come. And so what happens? Bob calls last night, said, I'm coming tomorrow, meaning today. I'm coming today. I got to get some of this. I got to feel some of this. That's not what he's saying, but there's a connection there. There's a draw there. These are your friends. These are your family. Bob and Tammy are connected, and they missed a family reunion, and they want to come and be part of it. I'm not trying to overkill this, okay? But I just can't tell you.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
So then we've been to the all hands on deck. I couldn't be up there to for Mike Blake's event, making plans to go to Chad's.
Amen. But the thing
that you draw from this is when you go to these places and you get this, you acquire this feel, right? So then you come back home, and this should motivate you even more to try and befriend people. People that you have no idea who they are. They don't know who you are. But when you start bringing the Holy Spirit into the mix, that's when things start to happen. But it's our responsibility to open our mouths.
Hey, because Victor, if we don't... Bobby told me, Vic, that he made a video. He went to Cabela's this weekend. You guys know what Cabela's is. Maybe you guys don't have them out there.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we had it.
Bobby went to Cabela's, and he walked in Cabela's and started handing out Equal Justice tour cards in Cabela's. Because why? That's your pond you're fishing in. Those are our people. Those are the ones that we're after. Right, Bobby? Isn't that what you did? You just walked into Cabela's and started handing out cards, and you run into people who think like you. Right, Bob?
Yeah, it was very easy, and everybody embraced me. People, the first thing they saw was the shirt, opens up engagement. And then on one occasion, I was handing one card and had two or three other hands reaching out for the cards that I wasn't even ready to give them. I mean, everybody's eager and hunger to get. Yeah, that's where we're at, these events like that. And we got a big RV camper thing coming up out here in a month. And all of these events across the nation, we need to be out there. It's easy. It's non-threatening. It's engaging. Those are our unmade friends.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I went to the VA and encountered the same thing, Bobby. There's pockets of like-minded people out there. I mean, it's just, we got to find them. And I think that's the path. Those are the people we talk to.
Amen. Amen.
But you see, Coach, that's the whole point. So it's up to us. We go down there to get fed at these huddles. And then you come back. And you try and duplicate it wherever. Amen. I go and hang out at a Best Buy. It's noisy, but you go down there and you just kind of spy people. And then you pick whoever the Holy Spirit draws you to, that's the guy you go to or the gal. And that's what you do. Right now, I'm hanging out with cops at the Walmart down here since we got that shooting or whatever. They have different cops at my Walmart. So I go down there, I pray over them, you know, I give them the card. Some of them accept it, some of them don't, but it doesn't matter. You know, I'm making an effort. And then from there, I can springboard onto somebody else. That's what I do.
Amen. So let me, I got a couple. Hey, Jared, get up, pull up my Facebook page. So we went and did Roger, I know you're listening to this. We went and did the honking wave. That's what I call them, the honking wave on Saturday afternoon. We were out there for a couple hours. And we're at a very, very busy intersection at the interstate. And when we parked, I had a place where we were going to park down the road, an empty lot. But it looked like it was going to rain. So I didn't want to get away from the people that were in my van and had them get soaked. So I pulled on the berm on the overpass. I parked there. And then another car, I'm thinking, oh, no, we can't park here. And next thing I know, we got about 8 cars lined up off of the, on the berm. And we start handing out cards, and this police car comes up, State Highway Patrolman. He pulls up beside us, makes a left turn, and takes off down the freeway. And I thought, God, what was that? And he didn't even say anything to us. Well, about an hour later, here comes back the cop with the lights on, pulls off side of the road. I thought, oh, here we go. You ready for this, Roger? So I go walking to this cop to try to say it. I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we go. And Roger, the cop was Brian Miller. The guy, he played football for me at Fairfield Christian Academy. The police officer was a friendly, if you can believe it. And so we get up and I said, Brian, you're not going to arrest me, are you? And he just laughed. No, coach, what you guys are doing is all fine. It's all legal. He said, I came by here before and the dispatchers got a call and they sent me back here because how about this? The left was, people were calling the police saying we were blocking traffic. See, that's how the left operates, right? We're blocking traffic. There's a traffic light. Light turns red. We're handing out cards. So they call the cops. And who is it? Some guy that played football for me. That's how the protection of the Lord sometimes is all over. Go to the Facebook page real quick. Quickly. See, that's an adjective. That's an adverb. Quickly. You don't say get here quick. You say get here quickly. Okay. Language. Quickly. So let me find you, Jared. Somebody. Okay. Here. There you go. Thanks, man. Jared, let's go. Let's start right here. Alan Hoyle. I'm not going to show all of this, but here's a classic example. Alan Hoyle, I'm going to say this publicly. Alan's probably in jail, probably hasn't bonded out yet. Alan, you got to connect with us. Listen, folks, the devil, the wolf loves the lone sheep. He loves the lone sheep, man. You got to connect with us. Say, well, I don't agree with everything you do. All right, well, then go fight alone. Go ahead and go fight alone. Alan Hoyle shows up in his own town where they're having a homosexual pride parade. And, this video, I'm not going to show it. You can watch it later. It's on my Facebook page. It's 20 minutes and 2 seconds. Go ahead and play that, Jared. And it's just Alan out at the parade. And hang on. I'm sorry. I told you to play it. Stop it a second. Mike, I guess it is. Alan, you're not, for some reason, you're not allowed to wear a mask in Lincolnton, in North Carolina. I don't know what it is. Publicly, you're not allowed to wear a mask. There's some guy dressed up in red skivvies, tights, with a, he's a, what do they call that? S&M, sadomasochism, sex. So he's got on a dog face, if you can imagine. He's got a dog face over. And that is against the law in North Carolina, if I understand it right. And so Alan goes, I'll show you just a few minutes of this. He goes from police officer to police officer. Say, that guy's violating the law. That guy's violating the law. Officer, what's your badge number? Who's your captain? I want to talk to you. Alan does this for about 20 minutes, and they end up arresting him. So I want us just to watch a couple minutes. Jared, you can go ahead and scroll. Just scroll ahead, Mike, to about the 2-minute mark and start letting us in. We'll watch it. And now, see, now listen, he's by himself. I think Mountain Man's with him, but Alan's by himself. Jeff Nell's by himself a lot. It's dangerous to be alone. Always it's dangerous. Go ahead, Mike.
It says that you've got to be moved in the halfway space.
Is that what you're arguing?
Yes, sir. This was not a paid event to get in here. Anybody wants to can come and go.
Everybody can block the street.
I'm not blocking the street. There's nobody who's left traffic on me. Are you going to arrest me if I keep doing
this? Like, you know what my position is.
Now, I'm asking, are you going to arrest me if I keep on doing
what I'm doing? Not Alan, moving forward a little bit more, Mike. Listen, folks, I hate to tell you. Hey, Chad, I love you to death. Why are the police on the side of the wicked? Why are they always on the side of the wicked? Good. Mike's going to forward it a little bit and play some more. You hear Alan. That wasn't Alan, by the way. This is Alan's hometown. He ran for sheriff in Lincolnton. Alan Hoyle ran for sheriff in this town. And they're going to arrest him at the end of this video. Go ahead.
You got to print it. I understand.
Well, I got it written. That's your statute, the law.
I know. We've got it.
Well, there's no right whatsoever, even a public, in a private place. That's what the law says, even a private place. So I'm going to call y'all out when I find one. And I expect y'all to either arrest them or their mask comes off. They're not allowed in North Carolina to have a mask on. Period.
Okay.
not in a public place at all, much less a private place. That's what the law says.
What about Halloween?
It's not allowed either.
What about parties?
No, sir. Now, what the law does say...
What about events and parades that...
It's not allowed. No. The law says no. Now, this is where, if it's private, it says that they can go to the, in this case, would be the city, and get a permit, saying in their private place, not in a city.
Well, this is on my Facebook page. You can go watch the whole thing. Alan goes for about the next 14 minutes, confronting officer after officer, who will simply do his job and confront the guy with the mask. Say, you got to take off the mask. You can't wear the mask. He does this for 14 minutes and 44 seconds later, and they end up arresting Alan Hoyle. To my understanding, probably is still in jail right now because it happened on a Sunday. The courts aren't open. You can't post bond. They probably locked him up all night. And I hope he wins $1 million. I hope he does. Okay. I hope he wins $1 million. So God bless Alan Hoyle, but I'm going to say it again. Alan, come into the fold, man. We need you. You need us. We need to be a team. We need to be a team. Okay, cool. Next thing on my Facebook page, Jared, let's go. Here's what we better get prepared for. Mike, go up and show the video on Antifa. I don't know if you guys know right here. This happened in Portland, Oregon this weekend. And look, went viewer discretion. They may say a bad word here. Get ready. Far right. Look at the bottom. It says far right anti-fascist marchers clash in Portland. When's the last time you heard the other side called far left? You ever heard that? Folks, I'm telling, the left is gearing up. The left is the perpetrators of violence. The left are the perpetrator of violence. I'm going to say it again for you real slowly. The left are the perpetrators and promoters of violence, not the right. Not the right. And see, they tell us that if you try to defend yourself or fight back, then you're violent. You're the violent one, right? This is about a 2-minute video. Go ahead, Mike. Better get ready. Coming to a town near you. You wait till Trump wins in 2020 and watch what the left does. Go home, Nazi!
Go home, Nazi!
Where are the cops?
Go home, Nazi!
Did they talk about that in your sermon Sunday at church? Is your pastor making aware that there's a devil loose? Are you guys being made aware of that? Or is this, pardon me, is this mixing religion with politics? Right? And we know experience when we went to the gay pride parade, I'm going to tell you something, the police were not on the side of the Christians. You hear what I'm telling you? Go ahead, Vic.
Well, this thing is coming. They're going to have 10 days to exploit this. They're converging on El Paso September 1st through the 10th. Lieutenant Governor Patrick has already warned them. We'll see what they do with that. But we're getting ready here. I've been talking to the cops about it. And a lot of them dread it, but they're ready. And the state will probably send in extra reinforcements. We're going to see how it plays out. Myself, I think it's going to be multiple. They'll be at different locations. They're not going to congregate in one place. They're going to light it up all over town.
18 people were arrested this weekend in Portland, all of them Antifa. There weren't any cowboys, good old boys arrested. It was Antifa. They're lying to you and telling you that if you fight back, you are promoting violence. You understand what's going on? You understand?
They arrested the guy, Joey, that was the head of the prayer vigil. Ahead of that happening on Friday.
Unbelievable. Well, folks, I'm just telling you, this is the kind of stuff that I'm just trying to prepare us to be organized and together, because it's going to get worse. Going to get worse. That's the point. Go ahead and play just maybe another minute of this, Mike. This is Portland, Oregon. Tim Tubra, that's up your way. We were just out there a month ago, a few months ago. Go ahead. That's not a church gathering. Control agents and impact weapons do not interfere. There's your militarized police, boys and girls. There's your militarized police. They will incite violence, and when we defend ourselves, they'll accuse us of violence. That's what they're setting us up for. Okay, cool. Anybody have a comment on that?
Yeah, hey, Coach. You know that Christian prayer leader guy that was arrested. What he did is he turned himself in because there was an incident that happened a few days prior, and he just found out that he had been indicted. And they had issued a warrant against him. So when he found out, he went and turned himself in before this weekend's activity started over something that happened a few days ago. That's how his arrest came about.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Hey, Mike, go back to the Facebook page. We'll switch gears on you.
But Coach, they said that he got released. He was there actually for the parade or whatever.
Amen. Okay, Mike, let's go to the honking ride. I think maybe it's the first thing. I want people to see us out at the honking ride. Honking wave, I'm sorry. There's me. Hey, how you doing? Now keep going. I'm sorry, Mike. It's down there, I think. Hey, my grandkids are back. Maybe I didn't post it on there. I'm sorry. Hey, keep going, Mike. See if you can find it. Steven, keep on going. Keep on. Reese's back. She's been on vacation for a week. There it is. Go ahead and play that, Mike. This is us doing the honking wave. You got prettier. You got prettier while you were gone. So that's Betsy. This is us just, you can do this stuff. We're out at the intersection. And I'll show you what we were doing. They call the cops and we're blocking traffic.
Oh. Hey, good afternoon there, folks. Sunday, what is this, Saturday afternoon? Yeah, there you go. You hear those horns honking out there again. We're out here doing a honking wave. Indict Hillary Clinton. Thank you. Yes, sir, folks. We got to get out. We got to make a difference. I need a sign here. Yeah. You just got to change with the light. Just keep changing with the light. We got a good crew here. Let me just flip it around. Yeah, we're at the intersection of State Route 70 and 37. Just east of Buckeye Lake, Ohio, right west of Buckeye Lake, Ohio. We got a bunch of folks out here. Crooked Hillary for prison. Holding up signs out here. We're trying to wake up the people out here in the hinterland. And now's the time that we have to stand up and fight. The Sooner crew over there holding her Crooked Hillary for prison shirts. You can get those at equaljusticetour.com. Crooked Hillary for prison. What's on the back of that? What's on the back of your shirt?
Oh.
Back of your shirt. Lock her up.
Lock her
LockerUpEqualJusticeTour.com. Folks, here's what we know. The media's been lying to us. The media's been lying to us, telling us everybody hates President Trump. Here are a couple guys, John and Phil, holding up our Equal Justice for All and Dying Hillary. EqualJusticeTour.com sign. Everybody can do this no matter where you are. We're standing out here at the intersection of 70, Ohio 70 and Ohio 37 and Interstate 70. We got people on every corner except that corner over there. And all we're doing is handing out cards that say EqualJusticeTour.com, signs that say Indict Hillary. Equal justice for all. Everybody understands it. It's a very simple premise. Equal justice. Betsy, turn your sign so they can see it. Turn your sign so they can see it. Yes, Hillary.
That's good enough. Okay, folks, so that's it. There's what we did. And I forgot Phil was there. Phil's a local guy right here in Thornville. And he was out there with us. So praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. So we got to get our team up and moving. I'll be up in a minute. My grandkids are back. It's great to see them. We gotta get our team up. And you know what everybody said afterwards? That was fun. That was fun. Yeah, it was fun. And anybody was there, what were the percentage of people for us? What do you think, Polly? Were people for us or against us? That was a shout out to Polly. Somebody show her how to unmute.
Yes.
Hey, Coach.
It was great. About 7 out of 10, we had all the truckers and we had all the bikers. 100% truckers and bikers.
Right. Yep. they're all with us. It was fun, right, Polly? Easy to do. Fun.
It was great. It was awesome. Fun. Easy. No risk. Coach was the only one in the middle of the road. We all stood on the sides.
I got a little out of control, I suppose. Vic, you're going to say something.
It was me, Coach. I was just going to say great time, great fellowship with everybody, and a big amen to Mike and Bonnie.
Yeah, amen. It's all good. All good. All good. Now, I'm going to bring one more thing up. I got a lot of stuff I didn't get into. Jared or Connor, whoever's running the thing, pull up. It says Satanist. It's a video that says Satanist. It's in the stuff I sent you today. My dear friends, this is going mainstream. Now here's the problem that we're having, from my perspective. The left are serving evil, but they think they're doing right. So when we say, like somebody suggested the other day, I can't even remember how I was going to make the comparison. If they get to define good and evil, we are screwed. Whoever defines morality wins. Because see, the Satanists think they're moral. They think they are doing the right thing. So whoever designs it, whether it's government says abortion is good, abortion becomes good. Government says smoking marijuana for medicinal purposes is good, it becomes good. Government says anal sex between men is good, and it becomes good. So we have to be very, very careful when we're talking about them enforcing good and fighting evil, because many on the left think we're the evil, they're the good. This is mainstream Satanism. Go ahead, Jared. Whoever, Connor. This is a movie trailer.
It's a beautiful day here at the state capitol. Great day to be a Satanist. I believe it, and I'm very excited about it.
Hail Satan!
We're not what you think we are.
Satanic Temple was an idea between a handful of people directly confronting authority.
This makes life fun.
State officials have put up a Ten Commandments monument on government property.
Satanists are demanding equal rights.
I am a tax-paying member of Arkansas, and I don't want that there.
They just want to irritate.
The Satanic Temple says you also need to put up our monument to Satanism.
As a Satanist, I believe that confronting injustice is an expression of one's satanic faith.
You see Christian theocracy just creeping itself into our government, and it is our duty to stand up to
that.
We want people to evaluate the United States being a Christian nation. It's not. We are supposed to be a nation that doesn't allow the government to dictate what is appropriate religious expression.
Satanists sue Missouri.
If we're being sued by the Satanic Temple,
we gotta be doing something right.
It's our goal to shut down their agenda, which is to bring death and destruction.
You guys please. Are horrible people.
Is this how everyone that's different is treated?
It is out of not only Satanism, but patriotism that I am motivated.
Satanism is looking out for the other, because we are the other.
I am following a code of ethics. Having fellowship with brethren, why can't that be a religion?
We do indeed invoke Satan.
We have gone from 3 people to 50,000.
There's no doubt that this is my life's work.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Not bad. Hey, folks, that isn't a spoof. That isn't a spoof. It's going mainstream. And again, don't forget this. Whoever defines morality rules the land. And they're defining Christianity as evil, and they want it outlawed. And what's our response? Jesus loves you. They're at war, and we're not. Somebody help me wrap this thing up today.
Coach, that's that everybody thinks that the grand deception is going to be one event. But I actually think it's a multiple events. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying about defining morality, that's happening before our eyes right now. And a lot of people aren't, you know, I don't know, awake or whatever, but
heck, the churches are accepting evil, and then the churches turn to those of us who won't accept evil, and they say, "You're evil." Can't you see what's going on?
They say that sharing is caring, and these people are sharing a false gospel. When people are just saying that the New Testament, that's the current covenant, and they disregard the Old Testament, we're in a world of hurt, brother.
We're in a world of hurt, brothers. We're in a world of hurt. World of hurt. So, hey, listen. Right.
From my experience, 90%+, if not more, of the satanic social clubs are sharing a false gospel. So why are we surprised when Satan comes out and just does it bold and up front?
Yeah, but Larry, the false gospel that the Evangelifish Church is saying, they're just wrapping darkness in light, brother. That's all they're doing. They're just giving. See, a guy told me a long time ago that a half lie is an all lie, right? If you only tell a half lie, it's a whole lie. I can tell my wife that I love her. And at the same time, tell another woman that I love her.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Jesus actually demonstrates that scripture itself, when presented not in, incomplete or out of context, incomplete or out of context scripture is a lie. Mm-hmm. Jesus demonstrated that because the devil used scripture incompletely and out of context to try to tempt Jesus. Jesus later ever said of the devil, the truth is not in him. Therefore, that scripture that was misused that scripture that was in Satan became a lie. Scripture is a lie if it's not presented properly, and that's why the satanic social clubs out there belong to Satan lock, stock, and barrel.
Larry, exact same thing in Genesis when the snake came to Eve, right? Did God really say, right? Yes, sir. Out of context makes it not true.
Coach, half-truthers are dangerous because you don't know which half to believe.
Amen. Folks, let's assemble ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. Great weekend. A lot of work to get done. God's doing great things. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.